T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a big moment, I think, for a lot of people who were here when WIP first really became a part of the culture of sports fans in this town, because he was one of the first people that left the Inquirer to come here and became almost an immediate hit working in the afternoons and with Steve Fredericks and then later with Howard Eskin. And he is no longer in radio, but it sounds like he's too busy to do radio. It is a great honor to have on our show today, former star of WIP and other stations, but I'm not mentioning them, Mr. Mike Missinelli. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Am I in the Twilight Zone here?
Come on, Mike.
It's been 20 years since my voice has been on this station.
20 years since we heard Mike Missinelli's voice. But, Mike, how were those 10 or so years you did here? Did you love it?
Oh, well, listen, we told stories. So I had you on the podcast telling the stories of the early days and how the station evolved. It's an amazing story, really. We all jumped into it, and you went first, and we all jumped into it, and we made a pretty good success out of it. None of us expecting, I don't think, that we were going to be that successful. But, somebody was sending out a picture of an old lineup, and we had guys like Chuck Cooperstein in there. Oh, and, yeah. Remember those days. And the station we had a really good flow back then, and I think people really jumped on it.
All right, but, Mike, can we admit the truth now? None of us had any idea what we were doing when we first came here. Am I right?
You did.
No, I did not. I faked it for a long time.
You faked it pretty well because you went from – here's the thing about you is that I used to watch you as a journalist at the Inquirer, and you're a serious guy. It's just a serious get-the-story type of guy. And then you clicked the switch and became a personality within a day and went to radio, and it's just like this whole different Angelo came out. And you learned right away what you needed to do. You showed a personality, and you created a kind of a blueprint on how to do it. And then we all followed it.
All right, but Mike, here's the real truth. You had a way back fallback than I did, because you had the writing, which you were great at, and you had a law degree. You were a lawyer. You could have done that. Was this more fun than that other stuff? Is that why you liked it?
I took a shot at it. I really did. The Inquirer, I stayed... I got the law degree when I was still working at the Inquirer, and I was ready to leave the Inquirer. They offered me the college basketball beat. The first assignment was in Hawaii.
Oh.
And so I'm going to cover the Maui Classic. So I figured I would put it on hold for a year, and then I really started to like it because, listen, newspapers back then had a budget, and we were flying all around to do stories, and it didn't feel like work, and all these guys I went to law school with were miserable. And then it came to the end where it started to get old because a bad editor came in, if you remember.
Oh, he killed it.
Yeah, so we were doing these little hits on WIP, and they were always frowning on it. The Inquirer fought us because they were the ivory tower, and they looked at sports radio like it was so beneath them. So we always got that. And it just got to the point where newspapers kind of got old. And what you jumped. We all noticed it. And then out of the blue, I guess Eskin had left to go somewhere. And out of the blue, they offered me the evening drive spot with Steve Fredericks. I had been doing weekends with Stan Hockman, not thinking it would ever turn into a full-time job. And just out of the blue, they did. And they were paying more money in the Inquirer. So,
yeah, that's all it was, Mike. That's all. I came here for 20 grand more. That's all it was.
Yes. But it was 20 grand more was like significant to us. We were slaving this newspaper guy making like $50,000 or whatever it was at the time. And I said, you know, what do I have to lose? He offered me a one-year contract to work with Steve Frederick to do Evening Drive. I said, if it doesn't work out, I can practice law or whatever that I was going to do. And I took a shot, and it worked.
All right, but people should know, Steve Fredericks was one of the true building blocks. He was one of the first that ever did it. He and Howard were the first two. What was that like, Mike, to go in there? You're in drive time with very little experience working with an icon. What was it like working with Steve?
That's a really good question because I didn't know how it was going to work. Steve obviously had nine lives, right? And this was kind of like the ninth life that he was on. And at first, he was the bombastic Steve who was used to being that guy. And then I think he realized that that I was the wise ass and that he would be better off playing to me. And he figured that out right away because he was a radio pro. And then from that point on, he like became the back guy. He was the straight man to me. And I think that's what worked about him because he allowed me to mess with him a lot. Without getting angry.
Michael.
He knew. No, he knew. Rhea. He knew entertainment. Rhea was one of
your
producers,
producer,
right, Mike?
Yes, Rhea was one of the first producers we ever had.
And Joe Wechter. He was one.
Right. You know, she could tell you a million stories about Steve, but here's the thing about Steve that was most entertaining to me. During the commercials, he would tell me a story out of the blue. Because he had such a full life. I mean, he was all over the place with radio in Boston and this and that. And, of course, he had the problem, the drug problems, and there were all these kind of stories. And I remember one, like, during the commercial, I would muse. I had a newspaper. Remember newspapers? I used to look at stories in the newspaper, and I saw this story about Fred Grandy, who was Gopher on the Love Boat.
Yeah, I know him, yeah. What about him?
So he was running for governor of Iowa or senator of Iowa, something like that. Look at this. Gopher is running for political office. Steve blurts out, yeah, I used to do drugs with that guy.
What? No way!
I go, what? He goes, yeah, we were all members of an acting troupe in Boston, and we used to go out in this boat in the Boston Harbor, and you know, he'd be dropping acid, and by the end of the day, his face would be by the propeller.
Oh, my God, he was...
and these were stories that would come out, like, almost every commercial in his life. And then he adds this. He goes, yeah, that's when I was dating Jane Curtin.
Oh, he dated Jane Curtin from Saturday Night Live?
Exactly. And these stories would blow me away. And he would tell them, like naturally, you know, like, and he, you know, he was... I miss him a lot, man. He was great.
All right, so... I can't ignore this part of your WIP history. After you and Steve were broken up for whatever reason, you ended up with Howard Eskin, the other icon building block of sports talk in Philadelphia. First of all, were you in favor of that when they told you?
Well, no, because they had Steve and I were a team.
Yeah.
So they Eskin came back to radio from doing TV, and they thought that putting us together would be a good show, but they kind of like threw Steve out the door and they gave him like night hours or whatever. So I wasn't in favor of it and I didn't think it would work but because we were just, you know, we were like, to me, our chemistry wasn't good. Howard is what he is, but what he isn't is a team guy. So to do a show with a guy like that was really difficult when he wouldn't play along as a team. I mean, you know how that works. You guys have the ultimate team.
Well, it is much harder that way. I have said that publicly, and he's gotten angry about it because he has. I will say this, Mike. He has become more one now than he ever was in those early years. But you still had a very successful show with him, didn't you?
We went on for 3 years. A lot of people liked it. Some people didn't. I literally wanted to kill him every day.
Really?
Mike, do you know what we found amusing? Those of us who were producers, you guys sitting in the parking lot in your cars and seeing which one was going to come into the studio first.
No, that isn't true.
He would never come into the studio first.
No, that was true.
He would come in within 10 seconds of the show being started, saying, what went on today? And I, so, you know, it was stressful for me because I'm an A-type personality, want to do the right thing, and he's an A type of personality, and we clashed.
All right, Mike, the big thing is people know you left. There was an altercation with the producer, et cetera, et cetera. Looking back now, because you ended up having a terrific career at the other station also, do you have regrets? Do you ever look back and went, well, Cataldi stayed there the whole time, Macnow stayed there the whole time, Morganti stayed there the whole time. Do you ever say to yourself, you know, maybe that should have played out differently and I should have kept just that WIP my whole career?
Yeah. Like the first time I left was because of I took the WMMR morning show job with Joe.
And, Conklin.
I thought that was like a different avenue to go down. I was kind of excited to go into a different channel of radio. And then second time came back, the altercation I regret. I mean, I wish I would have been a little calmer in that particular situation. But I have two strikes against me. I'm Sicilian and I'm a Scorpio, and that's bad DNA, and it mixes.
All right. Well, in your career, and what a great career. I don't know if you'll resume it or not. What are you proudest of, Mike? What do you really feel good about in all the years you're in radio in this city?
I think I was most proud of asking the right question to people. Like, I wasn't afraid to offend people. I think that's our newspaper training, our newspaper background, where you can't be afraid to ask a question if you think a guy's going to get angry about the question. You have to ask the question on what the people are listening for, and in a way, you're an advocate for the fan. And so I always thought, like, I'm going to make enemies because I'm going to treat some people harshly, but the harsh question needed to be asked to people. And so I think, like, the honesty that comes forth out of that, in the long run, I think people appreciate more than the pandering to people.
You were fantastic at that, Mike. Mike, you've been out of it a while now, 4 or 5 months, I guess. We had to wait 3 months for the non-compete to end. Do you miss it? What do you feel now not having it?
I'll tell you where I missed it during the Phillies run. The everyday reaction that you get from fans. So I'm doing podcasts now, which you don't get that immediate reaction. So, like, that byplay was always what was good about what we did in Sports Talk Radio. And so I missed that part of it definitely during the Philly season. And I assume we're going to come down the stretch if they get to the Super Bowl. I'll miss that interaction with that. Mm. So, yeah, I do miss it. And, it's weird the way the whole thing worked out. It was, I didn't expect it to work out that way, but it did. And so I've tried to now reinvent myself with other things.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. That podcast, I've done a bunch of them. That got more reaction than all the others I've done put together. So I know
you're the one I had with you.
Yeah, you're killing it. You're killing it with the podcast. But you got, hold on a minute. I guess you have a winery you're involved in now? Is that true?
Yes. It was always a goal of mine to own a boutique winery. And I looked in Virginia, and because that's where I really wanted to go. And then this winery in Cape May Courthouse, New Jersey, named Sally Vineyards. I was looking at that one. It was for sale a few years ago, and I just couldn't get it together at that particular time. So another guy bought it. And out of the blue, I emailed him, and I said, listen, I was looking at this winery. I'd really like to be involved. If you're interested in taking on a partner, I would love to be involved. And he did some research on me, and he knew that I kind of had a name in this area. So he thought it would be a good partnership. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Wait a minute. I'm not done. You have a children's book out?
Yes, I have a children's book out. I have a book signing this Saturday.
Where's that?
It's at the Neshaminy Mall at Barnes & Noble from 2 to 4. It's called The Adventures of Shiba the Shiba. I have a Shiba Inu dog.
Yeah.
And raising that dog was a nightmare. it's an untrainable dog. So I had an idea to write a children's book where almost like a child doing things wrong and learning from mistakes and things like that. And I just put the dog in that situation where she was an incorrigible, and so I put my head in the dog's head. These Shiba Inus look like they have thoughts, like they have human thoughts. So I matched my human thoughts with the dog's human thoughts, and the dog narrates the book, but it's really my head that's narrating it.
Well, Mike, I gotta be honest. I looked this up, right? Don't take this the wrong way. Shima looks a little bit like Askin.
Stop it.
Come on.
No, right around the eyes. You look around the eyes and the fur, it looks a little. Mike, all I could say, Mike, it's so great to have your voice back on WIP. Would you ever consider returning to radio? Or is it is that a part of your chapter that's over?
No, my ears are always open for, like, when this ended at the other station, I came back, I didn't expect that I was going to do anything, and all of a sudden, I got a couple calls to do some things, so, you know, I'm not ready for the grave.
Wow.
You know, I could, I think I would, you know, listen to any opportunity if it was palatable, so, you know, that's where I stay in that, but, you know, I'm happy right now with the pace.
Right.
I'm working with.
All these old Enquirer guys, one thing you should know about us from the beginning, when there's money involved, we're always listening.
Yeah. No, here's the beauty of you, Angela. Like, I'm listening to Ruben. Yeah. And you've turned Ruben into a personality.
Ruben is a... Oh, don't get started, because Ruben, he's not... You guys didn't have the best relationship.
I'm not much of a personality. You know that, Mike.
Really, he's evolved into this radio guy now. And I look at his Twitter, and... you know, we only had one shouting match. He was yelling at me on the field once.
Oh, okay. That's for Missinelli.
That's
one,
amazing.
One's on
just
the
one.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
just
that's,
one, right?
That's
really?
An under.
Mike.
It was one clash where you were yelling at me on the field and I was yelling back at you.
Mike, we love you. We love hearing you on WIP again. Thank you so much for doing this today. It's been fun having these conversations with you. And I don't have to wish you success. I know you'll have it, whatever you do. Thank you,
Angelo,
Mike.
It's been a delight to be back on WIP. I really appreciate it. Thanks for doing my podcast. The reaction that we got on that podcast is just pretty amazing. So people wanted to hear the other side of Angelo as well.
Well, Mike, thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope we'll talk again soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.